Hey guys, Mario Pesce here from DevRigs. A lot of people ask me about maintenance for WordPress websites. What does it include? You know, what do you get in exchange for that particular maintenance package? What's the standard pricing for it and so forth? So I've decided for this to be the topic of today's podcast episode. So I actually had a conversation with a prospect. So we're doing phase one of a project. And then we've discussed a retainer, which is about 90% of our business. And since they're still kind of starting out, they were hesitant to proceed with the retainer at first and asked about our maintenance packages. So we pitched them one with our standard kind of proposal for those. And they started asking a bunch of different questions that weren't really covered by our maintenance. And were covered in our kind of retainer agreement, which was... which is maintenance on steroids with a lot more on top of it. So given that kind of miscommunication, it's kind of fairly common. A lot of people ask, you know, what's actually included in that maintenance package. I want to cover some of the common problems in the industry and some of the things that you're going to face while looking for maintenance. And one thing I'd like to kind of start with is maintenance really does depend on the size and complexity and the volume of data of your website, traffic, and so forth. And most of the offers or packages out there are really attuned to small and medium business websites, simple blogs, and things like that. And that happens for multiple reasons. First off, some of those people or agencies, they kind of hope that they can land something bigger, or they don't want to limit their opportunities, or they simply don't really know what sort of questions people are going to ask them once it actually comes to the terms and service. So without further ado, in terms of maintenance, there are kind of three or even four different variables, three mandatory and one that may come into play. First one is the types of services offered as a part of the maintenance. Second one is the skills of the developer or the agency, or kind of the way they structure the amount of work for depending on experience and so forth. The third one is, of course, cost. And the fourth one is being return on investment, which again, as I said, it's not really mandatory, but it's certainly something that comes up every now and then. So let's tackle each one of those separately. The first one is in fact what I've just been kind of discussing about. In other words, the types of services offered in as a part of the maintenance plan. And most packages that I see are, you know, they can start from, you know, $10 a month, $20, $50, whatever it is. They usually cover the ability for your website to be up and running unless you really add anything to it, or unless you have extensive kind of promotional campaigns and stuff like that. So basically, your website exists, it's usually a small one. You just need your kind of themes and plugins up to date, and ideally you don't really use anything that's overly complicated. Again, that's the usual scenario for a blogger, a photographer, a really small business with a 5-page website, stuff that can't really go wrong, more or less. But kind of the goal of the maintenance itself is being, again, just up and running and being secure, kind of preventing different security leaks and stuff like that. So that's kind of the gist of it. And of course, that's not really the be-all, end-all solution, because the more complicated a website, the more maintenance has to incorporate other things and has to, it kind of comes up with more complicated SLAs, service level agreements, and with different types of services that a developer or an agency has to provide as part of the maintenance. For instance, we do have a bunch of other things included in our maintenance, such as code reviews and, you know, performance testing and benchmarks and some other stuff, including our stability framework that we keep developing internally in order to catch certain kind of specific things that may happen. For example, an expired Instagram token that prevents images from showing up in a feed. Now, it's something that may happen every few months or so, and something that you don't really get a notification for, but, you know, our tool does that, along with other things. Again, expired tokens or services misaligned or mismatched or images with wrong sizes and things like that. So that's kind of a different types of maintenance as compared to just updating themes and plugins. And that's related to the types of stuff that's being provided as part of the maintenance. Also, in that same topic, I will include the matter of sensitivity and urgency, and you know the level of criticality, so to speak, for a specific project, right? Like if you only perform updates, and those can be kind of manual updates or just using a tool like ManageWP, there's not much that can go wrong, and you can even schedule them in your own convenience. So it's much better, much easier to coordinate. You don't have people kind of available 24/7, or at least in a longer time span. You don't really have anything that comes up just, you know, just like that. So obviously price is going to differ depending on the skill set, the amount of features, and also the timelines. Second one is the skills of the people involved in that. Like, again, if we're talking about just updating themes and plugins, first off, there are tools that support that, and they can cost, you know, as much as $20 a month or so, and that's pretty much it. Or even if you have someone who has to do that manually for whatever reason, or they have to, you know, update images on a post or copy a post from a Google Docs to the WordPress post editor, well, it's something that's doesn't require the skills of a senior web developer, for example, right? So this means that, first off, a freelancer that's less experienced can perform that at a lower cost. And second, you can probably even allocate that, you know, if you're an agency, you can allocate that to people who are, you know, virtual assistants or business assistants or juniors, interns, assistants, whatever it is, right? It's something that doesn't really require hardcore development, server management, any other type of business consultancy background, which impacts the point number three, which is cost. Of course, when you consider kind of time and cost and skills, you know, you end up with some form of an ongoing package, and that package again is heavily dependent on all of those different elements that we're talking about. So again, if you look for, and actually time and price are also contingent on your agreement and the duration of your contract and stuff like that. Why? Because if you ask for a, you know, 2 hour a month maintenance by someone who just updates the plugins, it's still going to be some form of an engagement for them. It's still going to be more or less distracting. They still have to find, you know, 50 other clients to fill up their backlog and so forth. While on the other hand, if you ask for 30 hours of maintenance and it's still basic, it doesn't require specific skills, they can give you a discount because you're occupying a lot of their time and they don't have to engage in sales and marketing and branding negotiations and whatnot. So that's it. But however, if you jump from, you know, 2 hours a month in general plugin updates to the aforementioned, say, 30 hours, then it's likely that the types of services you're going to ask for are going to be more complicated. So you'll need more expensive people to deal with that, more experienced, more expensive, hardly available, and the price is going to be adjusted accordingly. So again, it's a complicated metric. The fourth one that I mentioned is ROI. And ROI comes in two different forms. The first one is for your maintenance, how impactful would that be if it's around and if it isn't. And again, that's kind of broken down into two different phases. First one, what's going to be the potential gain if there's maintenance? And the second, what sort of crisis could be handled thanks to that maintenance? You see what I'm saying? So the first one is, can I win more money thanks to this maintenance if someone is saving me time and updates posts and they're better and shiny, yada yada yada? And the second one is, how much do I risk to lose on a, you know, on an hourly basis or a daily basis or whatever if my site is down or irresponsive or whatever it is? So the reason why this often comes into the equation is that the freelancer or the agency may adjust their workflow in order to fit the requirements of that particular business. Let's say I was a freelancer who offers, you know, freelance, I don't know, maintenance or something. So I have, you know, a couple of clients or three clients with 10 or 20 hours a month of maintenance, and they charge them X amount of money. So another customer comes in and they say, look, you know, we do want 20 hours as well. However, if something comes up, we pretty much are free to call you over the weekend or, you know, late in the evening or something like that. So you have to be responsible for our uptime because, you know, every hour that we are down, and we are, let's say, an e-commerce store, every hour we are down, we are losing, you know, $5,000 worth of, you know, lost sales and purchases and broken transactions and stuff like that. Obviously, in that case, if I'm a freelancer and I want to work with that business of yours, with the e-commerce, I'm going to say, okay, that's doable. However, my rate is probably going to be, you know, twice or three times higher, just so that I can make sure that I made myself available over the weekends. I can probably reduce the amount of workload I have for other customers and, you know, take care of whatever challenges come in due to the urgency and the priority of all those, you know, elements. So when you combine all of those things, you kind of get the type of package. And with most people, it's, again, closely related with a portfolio of services they offer, with a certain level of response times or whatever, certain things they cover or not, and it's just a multiplier on their support hourly rate, again, multiplied by the number of hours they put in. So, for example, like if a freelancer charges, you know, 50 or 100 bucks an hour, let's say 50 bucks, and if they charge, you know, 10-hour maintenance, it's going to be, roughly speaking, 500 bucks a month for the things they do. If you go to an agency, again, you know, larger agencies may be able to provide it with a package that says, okay, you know, we may charge, for instance, 150 bucks an hour, but the types of services that you want, such as content updates and image updates and so forth, are going to be charged, for example, half of that. So you end up with something like 125 or something, right? So it's kind of still higher, but depending on the complexity of your work and how it's distributed over time, you're going to get different sorts of pricing because the work is going to be offloaded to a different person. Moreover, those agencies may be using certain services, or they may have custom tools that they have built, you know, some dashboards, monitoring dashboards, uptime systems, other tools, because they can afford to do that due to the economy of scale, right? If a monitoring tool costs, let's say, I don't know, 300 bucks a month, if you have a client that pays you 500 a month, you can't really afford that specific tool. But if you have, you know, 50 clients, then it's pretty much about 6 bucks a month for every single client, just using that tool, given that, you know, price is the same. So when you think about all of that, it's easy to kind of identify, roughly speaking, what sort of maintenance package are you looking for, and what sort of kind of services are you going to receive. And again, there are some websites that offer, you know, unlimited maintenance and unlimited support and stuff like that for, say, 70 bucks a month. And small businesses can definitely benefit from those. And in some cases, they can offer some sort of support within that number. But more often than not, as much as your website grows, you are going to hit tons of different limits, and you may not really get the level of support you're expecting to get, or you're going to be upsold through different sort of consultants and professional developers and so on, working for that agency, charging even more per hour than the entire package itself. So yeah, that's it for maintenance pricing. I hope that this gives you some form of perspective of what you're off to expect. In terms of the duration of a contract, that's a tricky bit, of course. You know, some things are easier, some are more complicated. For some, you need to go through a more tedious process, you know, through a test server, dev server, staging server, whatever, before pushing to production. You may have to sync some of those changes with a content freeze for writers. So it gets, you know, extremely complicated the more the platform grows, and that's why maintenance is more challenging and more time consuming. And you may eventually end up working with a team of several different people with multiple specialties, coordinating and working alongside in order to reduce the chance for downtime and make sure that updates are seamless accordingly. That's all for today, and stay tuned for the next episode.